close, you see that they struggle too. Years ago, I worked in a treatment facility with White River Medical. I was the chaplain, and my job basically was to do fifth steps. They did the 12-step program, and I did fifth steps. And that's kind of like a Catholic confessional, almost, that where they, in private, they admit the exact natures of their wrong. They unload anything that's on their mind and anything that they need to talk about. And I was involved in that, doing fifth steps, and I sat in counseling sessions and group therapy and those kind of things. But I never will forget that there was this young lady that came, and to look at her, she was as pretty as any woman that you've ever seen on glamour magazines, fashion magazines, and it was natural beauty. It was not silicone and liposuction and what's that, Botox, and it wasn't that. It was just a very natural beauty. She was one of the most insecure people I ever met. She thought she was ugly, and she was gorgeous. She couldn't have a normal relationship because she wasn't attracted to men. She could have had any man she wanted. She was that pretty. And yet she dated thugs and abusers. And the problem was, she didn't feel like she deserved a good person. I think in a lot of ways that we as human beings can identify with that to some degree. Now, that seemed to be an extreme, but we have a tendency to identify with some of those kind of things sometimes because we have beat ourselves up. And, you know, we've read the Bible and we look in the Bible and we see all of these people who have done great things in the Bible. We're going to read a couple of verses of Scripture today. And we read about these people and we see their great exploits, but usually there's some things that we overlook about them. And the very fact is that most of them are just like us. Now, we're talking about not a fan. And I know some of you thought that when we started this, that this was just going to be an evangelistic outreach where we're trying to get people to be saved. And that is one of the goals of Not a Fan. But I think even greater than that, that it is a challenge to us who have been Christians a long time to examine our hearts and to see what areas that we're really not following in. And to judge ourselves in these areas so that we can move in every area of our life from being just a fan into a follower. And today we're not talking about heaven and hell issues, but we are talking about issues that may keep us from truly being followers of Christ. Because many times we hide behind those what we perceive to be weaknesses. There's lots of them. As we look at Bible characters, we're going to find out that many of them had the same flaws and weaknesses that we do. You name the excuse, there's probably a Bible character who had that same problem, and yet God still used that person for His glory. And I think one of the most frustrating things in our lives as American Christians today is we really many times don't think like that our lives are making a difference. That we're doing something that's significant. And we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see our glaring weaknesses and we allow that to keep us from stepping into what God has for us and what He wants to do through us. There's not a person in this room today that God doesn't want to use for His glory. Not one. And there's not an excuse that you can come up with or anything that you can hide behind that can keep God from bringing that to pass if you will let Him. Our challenge in this Not a Fan is for you to open your heart and allow God to speak to you where you are. Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. You know, I know sometimes that there are people when they go looking for a church, many times if they are challenged, they don't want to be a part of that church. They won't go to church. They want to feel comfortable. They want to feel like that they're going through these things, but they really don't want to be challenged to change in their lives. I don't want to be one of those kind of churches. I don't want to just build a church for the sake of building a church. I want to be challenged. And my goal is to challenge you, not to judge you, but to challenge you in your walk with God. I don't think any of us are doing 100% of what we could be doing. And I think a lot of times we go back and as we look in our mirrors, and it may not be a literal mirror, but your own self-perception, and you think, I've got this dream in my heart, but I can't because I'm... Let's look at some of the Bible characters. Start with Abraham. Wasn't Abraham a wonderful, wonderful man? The father of faith. You know what his could have been his excuse? He was old. Well, you know, I'm just too old. You know when you're too old? When you're dead. You're not going to get any older when you die. But you can never be too old for God to use. Well, this is just kind of, I'm going to step back and let the young people do so. Well, I understand that. But that doesn't mean you get to quit. That doesn't mean that you don't have purpose and that you don't have it. I think that a lot of people never live out their life because they lose their sense of purpose. Abraham was old. What about Jacob? Think about old Jacob. He was a rascal. He was a schemer. Jacob schemed and he was very insecure. We call him the insecure schemer. And you know, what was his name changed to? What? Israel. A nation was named after him. Leah. Remember Rachel and Leah? Leah was what? She was pretty. Leah was unattractive. Who did God choose? Did He choose the pretty one? You know, I think about that looking in the mirror sometimes, you know. God doesn't choose necessarily the pretty. And we can't use unattractive as an excuse. Look at Joseph. Joseph was a man of great character. But I want you to, he was humiliated. Have you ever been hurt? Have you ever been humiliated? Have you said, you know what, I started out with this and I was going to follow Jesus and I was going to do what God told me to. And somebody humiliated me, somebody hurt me, and I quit. And I think a lot of times, mentally and emotionally, we have quit. If anybody was hurt and humiliated, it was Joseph. He was falsely accused of so many different things, and yet God used him to save a nation. What about Moses? He stuttered. He said, God, I can't talk. And you know what? God used him to bring a nation out of bondage. What about Gideon? Gideon was afraid. Have you ever been afraid? Well, I'd like to do that. You know, God, I think God wants me to do this. He's put this dream in my heart, but I'm so afraid what people will say about me. God found Gideon hiding. And he says, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. He called those things that he didn't call him what he saw. He called him what he called him to be. Did you get that? You know what we call ourselves? What we see. What we see in our mental mirrors. God calls us what he sees us to be. We call ourselves what we perceive ourselves to be. If we'll start calling ourselves what God calls us, it's amazing what God could do with us. What about Samson? Samson was proud. Samson was proud. And God worked in his life and used him. Rahab, the harlot. Boy, how would you like to be remembered as Rahab the harlot? Say your name, the harlot. God used her greatly. David had an affair. Can God use people who've had an affair? Can we say, you know what, I've messed up. You know, I did this and I was unfaithful. And, you know, I've just been disqualified from anything that God would want me to do. David had an affair and he tried to cover it up and had murder committed to cover it up. Jonah was disobedient. Guess where he wound up? He wound up in Nineveh, where God called him to be. And God just used a big fish to do it with. Naomi, she was a widow. She was a widow. I couldn't do anything. I'm a widow. I have limited income. John the Baptist was eccentric. He ate bugs. Honey and bugs. Peter was hot-headed and impulsive. Martha worried. How about the Samaritan woman? Anybody remember her in the Bible? She had 5 failed marriages. And when she met Jesus, guess what happened? He turned it around. She left her old way of life and she began to follow Jesus. Zacchaeus, he had little man disease. He was short and unpopular. Not only was he short, he was a tax collector? Thomas had doubts. We talk about, how'd you like to be known as Doubting Nancy? Doubting Thomas. Timothy was shy and timid. I think that describes a lot of us. You know what's at the base of that? Fear. And then there was Paul. Paul probably was not at all timid. In fact, if anybody could probably boast, it could be Paul. Paul was probably the most educated man at that time. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel, who was a student of Hillel, who was one of the great Jewish theologians. The Apostle Paul was brilliant. He was confident. He was sassy and brash. And he didn't wait for doors to open. He kicked them open. He was probably confident. He was probably the other end of this spectrum. He's probably the guy that you would look at and think, you know what? I couldn't do anything like him. I can't do anything compared to him. You know, that's why the Bible tells us not to compare ourselves by ourselves and among ourselves. It says that we're not wise when we do that. It's amazing the excuses that we meet. Paul probably had the tendency to just will everything through. He was confident in what he knew. He was confident who he was. And he was going forward. Did you know that can get you in trouble too? See, all they are is opposite ends of a problem. One of them is no sufficiency, and the other one is self-sufficiency. Both of them will fail. Have you ever heard a man say, "I am a self-made man. I have made my way. I have earned my money. I have done this by my strength. I have done this and I have done this." You know what? There are limitations to where that will take you. And in the kingdom of God, that won't take you very far. Paul talks about, and we're going to look at scripture. Go with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul talks about this thorn that he runs into. Now, there's been a lot of things that have been described as Paul's thorn in the flesh. And most people think that it was a sickness that God gave him. Let me just right up front say that is not true. God does not make people sick. God is not the author of sickness and disease. Amen? He doesn't do that to us. And a lot of people think, well, you know, he said that he wrote with such a large letter. And they said that was because he had eye problems. And then when he was blinded on the road to Damascus, that he had eye problems after that. I have never heard of anything that God has ever done in our life that caused us physical problems. Okay. Let me tell you, and some people think that, you know, it had to do with his pride. It had to do with this. But if you really look at it, what this was a demonic attack against Paul because of the revelation that he had. He was given the revelation of the New Testament. He was fitted by God for that. The strengths that he had in his life enabled him to receive what God needed to get into the earth. It was not a coincidence that Gamaliel was trained by Hillel. And it's not a coincidence that Gamaliel trained Paul. Now, they didn't know what they were doing. They were Jewish rabbis. We talked about that last week. They were great rabbis. And Gamaliel is the one who trained Paul. And he trained him in the Jewish way. And it was through the strength of his education that God was able to reveal to Paul what was in the New Testament. But let me tell you something about our strengths. Your strength is never enough to get the job done. See, I don't care how talented you are. Your strengths alone will never accomplish what God has in store for you as a God-glorifying believer. Because your strength will only take you so far. See, God is not after self-sufficiency. He's not after that at all. And there's this description in 2 Corinthians 12:8, where Paul is talking to God and he says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." He's talking about this thorn. I mean, everywhere that Paul went, he got resistance. I mean, he got whipped. He got thrown into jail. He spent days and nights in the deep. They left him for dead one time. I mean, everywhere he went, it was revival or riot. You know what? After a while, his strengths were not enough. His education was not enough. His calling was not even enough. His human resolve was not enough. I got a feeling that the Apostle Paul was a very strong-willed person. But strong will will only take you so far. There is a weakness that's human even in our strengths. And here's what I think we need to see as we talk about being fan or follower of Christ. Because we put so much emphasis either on our lack or our sufficiency. And that's not what God doesn't want us to be in either place where this thing is concerned. But notice when Paul prayed this prayer, he said, I pleaded with God three times to take this away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, we don't like to talk about weakness, but every one of us, even in the strength that we have, there is a limit to our strength. And when you put our strength against his strength, there's no comparison. The song that we sang a while ago, he's unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. Well, if I'm going in my strength, I'm none of those. If I have to accomplish everything by my strength, or if I have to allow my weakness to hold me back, then I'm going to accomplish very little. So he says, my grace. Now let's talk a little bit about grace. We know that the classic definition for grace is unmerited favor. And what does that mean? That means it's a favor that comes in our life that's unmerited. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't do anything to deserve it. It's a gift of God. In fact, every talent that you have is a grace. Every ability that you have is a grace. The ability to learn is a grace. Your personality is a grace of God. You didn't earn it. When God designed you before the foundation of the world, he picked those things to put them in your life. You know why? Because he was going to use those things to bring glory to himself. Now, I have a choice in all of this, because I could either say, I'm going to use these for my own advancement, or I'm going to use these to glorify God. And that becomes a difference than being a fan and a follower. So when we talk about grace, we're talking about the attributes of God that are in our lives that are undeserved and unearned. Now, it also means, but it has to do more than just favor. It has to do with power, an empowerment. And I love I heard Charles Capp say one time that grace is God's willingness to use his power on our behalf, even though we don't deserve it. Now, who gets the glory for that? Me or him? Paul's strength took him as far as it could take it. And he came up against this thing is, I can't go on. God, you're going to have to remove this from me. And God reminded him. He says, my grace, the things that I have put in your life, the circumstances that I have brought you through, the people that I chose before the foundations of the world to be your teachers, the things that you have learned, the mind that I gave you, the personality that I gave you, the things that I have put in your life, and the power that I put behind them is the thing that's sufficient. It's not your resolve. It's my power. And I'm willing to use my power on your behalf. You know, I don't always feel strong. There's lots of times when I stand up here and I minister to you and I walk out of here, I just beat myself up. I'm saying to myself, self, you didn't do very good. You didn't do very good today. And then somebody will meet me in the hall and they'll say, that is the most wonderful thing I've ever heard. And I'm thinking, I don't know how. His grace is sufficient. I don't always feel strong. Sometimes when I think I've knocked it out of the park, I mean, dude, man, you delivered today. No one says a word. And God, it's just like God says, you see, It has not anything to do with you. It has to do with what I do, with what you do. So therefore, it doesn't matter how I feel about it. It doesn't matter what my perception about it is. It's His grace that is sufficient, and His power can be made perfect in my lack and in my weakness. Therefore, I cannot allow the way that I feel about something to keep me from doing the things that I need to do. Not everybody agrees with every decision that I make. I know that. His grace is sufficient. Sometimes you have to make decisions that people don't understand. His grace is sufficient. Sometimes I feel so overwhelmed. And I know you do too sometimes about things that you're faced with and difficulties that you face and decisions that you have to make. So he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. He didn't say I'm going to boast about my strengths. Because if I boast about my strengths, I might be boasting about something that I feel very sufficient in. Now, I have strengths in my life. There are things that God has gifted me to do very well. But even those strengths will only make so much impact where the kingdom is concerned. What I want to happen is God not only to work in my strengths, I want Him to work in my weaknesses. I want Him to work through me no matter what. So Paul says, you know what? I'm going to glory. Now, this doesn't sound right. This is one of the, we learned this in men's fraternity. It's kind of like the paradox principle. Something that sounds crazy, but it could be right. And this may be one of those paradox principles where Paul says, you know what? I'm going to glory in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can rest on me. When I don't think that I can do it, when I don't think that I can go on, when I don't think I can preach another sermon, when I don't think that I can, you know, whatever it is that we're trying to do for God and His kingdom, whatever it is that you're doing for God and His kingdom, he says, you know what? I'm going to glory in my weakness because I know that His power can, His grace can go to work on my behalf and make up the difference. This is a better way to live than self-sufficiency. Because self-sufficiency will lead to pride. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. See, he described what this thorn was. You know, if God would have answered his prayer, he probably would have had to kill a bunch of people to answer his prayer. And those are the very people that God was calling him to reach. He's saying, get these people out of my way. No, those are the people that you're trying to reach. And sometimes the people that you're trying to reach are difficult. Have you ever noticed that? Has God ever laid someone on your heart to witness to love, to sow into their lives, and they take advantage of you, and you want to say, dear God, why don't you just do something? Remove them. And God says, you know what? My grace is sufficient. You can't do this anyway. But I can, and I've chosen to use you. So shut up and keep going. It's my power, it's not your power. It's my strength, not your strength anyway. Paul says, you know what? All right. I'm gonna glory. If they insult me, and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, it don't feel that way. But sometimes when you make the biggest boo-boo and you get real about it, God can take that and do more with it than if you try to cover it over. There's another verse, and then we're going to close. Prayer team, get ready. Listen to this. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness and holiness and redemption. Therefore it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. God doesn't choose the politicians. God doesn't choose the government. God doesn't choose the mighty and the rich. And I know, sometimes he does. But sometimes he chooses the drug addict. Sometimes he chooses the old. Sometimes he chooses the messed up. And he works in their life and does a work of grace and brings them out of it. Sometimes he chooses the insecure. It's not always the powerful, because the powerful are prideful. You know what? One thing that God looks for more than anything else is availability. It's not ability, it's availability. But many times we hide behind our perceived weaknesses because we're looking at the mirror of our own lives and all we see is a mess. I can't tell you why we've grown this church. I don't have a degree. I'm not a D-min, doctor of ministries. I don't have a degree. It's God. It's God. And when you look in the mirror of your life, don't allow what you see as weak to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Because it's not about you. It's about Him. And He can take even the woman of Samaria with 5 failed marriages. Now that's messed up. Okay? She was messed up. Now if you've had 5 failed marriages, I'm not picking at you. I don't know. But that's messed up. That's not God's design at all. God hates divorce. But He reached out to that woman and restored her. And she led Him. And she went from that place and was changed. You know, the Bible says that she left her water pot. She came there with her pot to get water. And she went away with living water. And she left her water pot there and went out and began to tell people, come see a man that told everything that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Wow. She had a transformation. This is why we say, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you fail. What's important is where are you going? So here's what we need to do. And here's the challenge. The Socrates quote, the unexamined life is not worth living. if we will not take the time to examine ourselves. I'm not asking you whether you're saved or not. Probably most everybody here today is saved. I'm asking you, are you willing to follow? Are you willing to be a follower? Are you willing to let God use you despite what you think about yourself and your weaknesses? Are you willing to open your heart and do an examination and let God speak to you? Are you afraid He'll hurt you? He won't. It may be uncomfortable, but it'll bring healing into your life. Can you imagine? Prayer team, go ahead and come. Can you imagine what God could do with a church of followers? A church that knew their weaknesses and yet trusted Christ to make up the difference? A church that would not step back and let their limitations limit them? I know people who are extremely talented and won't let God use them because they're afraid. Can I tell you what that is? That's selfishness. That's selfishness. Let's pray. Thank you today, Father, for your word. Thank you that you chose to love us, even though you know that we're flawed, fallen, and even as redeemed, even though we're righteous, that we're not perfect. And you're willing to use your power on our behalf, even though we don't deserve it. Speak to our hearts as we open ourselves to you to examine our hearts. Speak to us. May we let you do your work in us so that we can bring glory to you. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything, please come.